We might as well start at verse number 1. This is a very familiar phrase throughout these particular books. Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Isn't that beautiful? And the Lord spake unto Moses, say, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave, past tense, or give, rather, present tense, which I give unto the children of Israel. God said that. Everybody say, God said that? And God meant that. Now, they are not there yet, but God said, I give it to you. And God doesn't take away what He gives. The Bible said the gifts and the callings of God without repentance. When God gives you a gift, you got it. You'll answer for God to what you do with it, but you got it. So He gave them a land. For out of every tribe of their father shall you send a man. Get this, every man a ruler among them. I say every man a ruler. Amen. There wasn't a loser among them. Every last one of them was a ruler. Verse number 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Everybody say they were heads. Amen. Every one of them. Every one of them. And then it goes on, verse number 4, to list their names. And I'm going to talk about those names here in just a moment. But I want to preach tonight about this. When the dream team lost the dream. When the dream team lost the dream. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You may not care tonight, but I was a little interested when I read this article. It just piqued my interest, the insanity of it. Do you know how much it costs to attend the Super Bowl? Let me give you a little idea here. This is from an article called creditcards.com from February the 3rd. And it said that as of Tuesday, now I don't know about tonight, but as of Tuesday, there were still 21,032 seats available in the 105,000 capacity Cowboy Stadium. The bad news, those tickets start at $2,400. And a single ticket runs up to $23,730 for one ticket. There's still a suite available if you want that. It's a 25-person luxury suite on the 40-yard line, and it goes for a mere $599,000. Isn't that amazing? Parking. If you want to park close, it's going to cost you between $550 and $990 just to park your car. If you're a cheapskate and don't mind walking, you can park a mile away for a mere $55. Wow. If you like to party, you can join the Black Eyed Peas for $1,500. Or Prince. I prefer to be in the presence of the Prince of Princes and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you can join that Prince for $1,500. I think they canceled that one. He's a deadbeat. Amen. Now all of that for a 60-minute ball game and 46 minutes worth of advertisements. If you want to advertise a 30-second commercial, cost $3 million. 30 seconds. A lot of money. A lot of money. This is going on in Dallas. I suppose they're still going. I don't know. I was going to pay that much money. I don't want to go for a long time. Amen. And that's besides all the bets. And I was reading, anybody ever stayed in a Super 8? Super 8's, you know, maybe a little above Motel 6, maybe not. But the Super 8 in Arlington, you could stay there Friday and Saturday night for $1,198 one night in a Super 8. We're not talking the Sheraton or the Omni or any of the rest of them. We're talking about Super 8. $1,200. Aren't you glad you're in Athens, Texas tonight? Can you believe that people actually spend this kind of money to sit in a stadium where you have to have binoculars to see what's going on? All because they want to be there. And the reason is because their dream team is on the field. Oh, ever since football started, it's been rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. It's been all about that particular team. And this year, I think it's the Cheeseheads from Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers, versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. And everybody's, oh, they're just been gaga over this whole thing. Amen. Dream team. One of them's going to go home and they're going to lose their dream. One's going to go home the champion. The other's going to go home disappointed. Amen. And it's all about Super Bowl. The Bible lists here tonight, and what I read in your reading was, it's a dream team. Boy, you talk about the cream of the crop. This is it. Every one of these guys was a ruler. Every one of them was a head. Every one of them was he was a top dog. I heard a guy walk into the church office one day, and he said, I wanna talk to the head hog at the trough. And the secretary got real offended. She said, we don't talk about our pastor like that. I said, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make a $20,000 donation. I was just going down the street. She said, oh, no. The big pig just walked in. So it all kind of changed. But every one of them was the big cheese. All of them. This was the dream team. Let's take a look at them here. The first one mentioned, verse number 4, his name was Shamua. Does that sound good? Everybody say, Shamua. That was his name. His name means renown. He was a renowned man. He was talked about. He was known among Israel. Shamua. And then the next one was called Shapha. Not because he was fat. Shapha. And his name means the judge. Here comes the judge. I mean, he was known. He was renowned among the people. He was a part of the dream team. And the next guy, his name was Caleb. We got one of those around here. And his name means force. May the force be with you. Amen. He was a man that had strength, and I love Caleb. Oh, he's one of my heroes. When I grow up, I want to be like Caleb. I want to be 80 years old. And when I get ready to go somewhere, I'm not looking for lowlands. He said, give me that mountain. Amen. That's the kind of vigor I want. I want to have this zeal as long as there's breath in my body. Amen. So his name means force, power. Amen. He was one of the dream team. There was another fellow by the name of Egal. His name means avenger. Sounds like comic books and characters. The Avenger. That was his name. He was the guy. He was going to get revenge. He was a renowned man among Israel. And then there was Oshua, or Joshua. Hallelujah. I like him too. He's one of my favorite fellows. His name means deliverer or savior. As a matter of fact, in the Greek it's Jesus. Hallelujah. In the English, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we call him today. Hallelujah. Amen. But my, what a dream team. A deliverer, Savior among them. And then there was a man by the name of Palti. His name means delivered. Anybody been delivered here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God I've been delivered. Amen. And then was a guy named the name of Gadiel. His name means fortune of God. Amen. There was another fellow by the name of Gadi. His name means fortunate. Talking about the dream team here. And then there was a guy by the name of Amiel. His name means the people of God. What a representative here. Amen. And then there's a guy by the name of Sether. His name means hidden. A fellow by the name of Nabi. His name means secret. And then there's Goel. His name means majesty of God. Oh, you talk about the dream team. They're sending the best out into the field here. Amen. And so he calls the dream team together. And he says, I want you to go. And he gives them a mission. Look down in verse number 18. He says, I want you to see the land and the people that dwell therein. Whether they be strong or weak, few or many, whether they live in tents or in cities, I want you to just spy out the land. And I want you to see what kind of people are over there. Amen. And then he said, I want you to look at the land. Is it a good land or is it bad? Is it fat or is it lean? Is it wood or is it not? I want you to spy out the land while you're over there. And then he said, I want you to be of good courage. Hallelujah. You know, it's a good thing to be of good courage. Be happy. Hallelujah. You know, I read one time and I learned to agree with it. Happiness is a choice. People are just about as happy as they want to be. If you like being sad and depressed, then that's what you're going to be. If you accept that, that's how you're going to live your life. But if you make up your mind, I'm going to be happy, then you're going to be happy. So the Lord said to the dream team, I want you to be happy. Amen. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. You know, happy people are strong people spiritually. People that know how to rejoice in the Lord. They're strong in the Lord. People that are always in the dust. How are you doing, brother? Just barely making it. I just don't know how much longer I can go on. No strength. No strength. Amen. Just barely got enough to get here. Amen. But thank God you're here. Amen. Maybe you'll get a little zeal somewhere. Maybe God will zap you just a little bit. Amen. But thank God for people that enter into His courts with thanksgiving and into His gates with praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for people that can come to church already singing, already praising, already worshiping. Can't wait to get here. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, be of good courage. Come on, dream team. Amen. Be happy. Amen. You're going on a great mission here. The Lord said, remember, He said, I give you the land. I just want you to see what I gave you. Now, you ought to be happy about that. If somebody said, hey, I'm going to give the church a big state, a nation, we'd get excited. We'd say, man, I want to see that. Isn't that right? We'd want to see what the Lord was giving us. What He's given us more than that. Hallelujah. He said, behold, I give you new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. For the old earth and the old heaven shall pass away with a fervent heat. We got something better than this. Amen. I hadn't seen it yet, but I read about it. My, it sounds good. Hallelujah. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. Him and every level of the 12 levels is made out of a different kind of a precious jewel. My, what a city that's going to be. And the Lamb is the light. And there's a crystal sea. What a place that's going to be. Amen. My, what a place God has prepared for those that love Him. And so He sends the dream team in. He says, I want you to go. I want you to spy out the land. And then He said, I want you to bring back the fruit of the land. And when you come back here, I want you to bring something with you so that everybody can see what's in store for them. Did not the Scripture say, and by their fruit you shall know them? We ought to be the smilingest people on the face of the earth. We ought to be the laughingest people on the face of the earth. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Amen. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. What? Joy. Peace. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Long-suffering, we love that one. Fruit, good fruit. Amen. That's what the world needs. If we're the dream team, that's what they need to see. It's hard to win somebody to God whenever they start telling you their troubles and you tell them yours and yours are worse than theirs. And they think, well, why would I want to be a Christian? They start telling you how bad their day is, and then you start telling them how bad your day is, and yours is worse than theirs. I don't want to serve your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when you don't give them your bad news, but you give them your testimony. Hallelujah. How that He delivered you. How He brought you out. How that He saved you. How that He healed you. How that He provides for you. Amen. We're a dream team, folks, that this world needs to hear our testimony. And they need to see the fruit of the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. So He said, I want you to bring back some fruit from over there. Man, they went. Here's the dream team. Can you imagine to be selected for the dream team? Only 12 men got to go. And they went over there. And they were wide-eyed. Oh, look at this place. Man, this is beautiful. Look at that. And they found this place. They called it Eshkol. Because when they got there, they were these massive grapes. I mean, they picked one cluster of grapes and they had to carry it on a stick between two men. And that's not a Texas Wendy. That's the truth. I mean, that's in the Bible. One cluster of grapes. It was so big, they had to get a stick and tie it on, and one guy on the back, one guy in the front, and they were hauling that group, that bunch of grapes. Ah, pomegranates and figs, all kinds of good stuff. And man, they went over there, they spied all of that out. They came back. You talk about the dream team dreaming. 40 days later, they come back. Everybody, nobody, people just can't wait to see them. The dream team's coming. Hey, tell us about the land. Tell us about what God said He's going to give us. Man, they come back and they get started with their story. The Bible said, verse number 26, the first thing that they did is they showed them the fruit of it. They said, this is what is over there. Look at these grapes. When I was in Israel in about 1986, I literally ate grapes were probably that big around. I mean, they were massive. And they were the juiciest grapes I ever ate. They'd get a mess. You had to eat them with a handkerchief. they were messy, but they were good. And they said, look at these grapes. Look at these pomegranates. Look at these figs. Man, look at all this fruit. This is what's waiting over there. Wow. And then the Bible said, what about the land? They said, it flows with milk and honey. There's grazing there for our cattle and for our goats and for our sheep, and they'll be able to eat and they'll produce lots of milk. And it's a sweet place. There's honey over there. Wait till you get over there and see what we saw. It's a dream come true. My, what a place that is. Look at this fruit and it's just a lamb that literally just flows with milk and honey. And then there's this real scary word in verse number 28. They said, nevertheless. And with that word, they lost the dream. That's kind of the word, like the word but. I would like to give you $100, but it was doing good till you got there. The $100 part was great. That going to give part, would like to give part was good. But then with one word, they destroyed the dream. Nevertheless. Just one word. Did you know you can destroy your dream with one word? If you just allow doubt to begin to seep in, it'll ruin your dream. The word doubt means to be of two minds. It's different than unbelief. Unbelief is single-minded. It means you do not believe. Faith means you do believe. Unbelief is you don't believe. Doubt is when you don't know if you believe. And the Bible said a double-minded man, a doubt-filled man, is unstable in all of his ways because he doesn't know if he believes or not. He's like the guy he had sympathies with the North in the Civil War. And he had sympathies with the South in the Civil War. So he said, I can't make up my mind. So he got a blue coat and put it on. And he got some gray breeches and he put them on. And he got shot at from both sides. Because nobody knew what he stood for. If you're a double-minded person and you're a person full of doubts, you're going to fight the devil and you're not going to have much help from God because you can't make up your mind. We got to take a stand, folks. You gotta find something to believe in and get in it with everything that you've got. When God said, I'm going to give that to you, that should have been enough. He'd been telling them that every day. Constance said, oh, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to drive out your enemies before you. He kept telling them and telling them and telling them. This is not the first time they've heard it. It was repeated over and over and over and over and over again. God told it to Abraham 430 years before this. God told it to Isaac. God told it to Jacob. God told it to Joseph. God told it to Moses. God told it to Aaron. God told it to everybody that would listen. And here they are. And with one word, they lost the dream. They said, nevertheless. Listen. They said, the cities have walls around them. That's a good thing. That means they didn't have to build any walls. Isn't that a good thing? The walls are already there. God said, I'm going to give you cities with walls around them. Amen. But they're saying, oh, cities got walls. And then they said, the people are strong. So what? How big is your God? How big is your God? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to even believe in a God at all, I'm going to believe in a big one. Amen. I don't want to believe in a little scrawny God. Can't even help himself. I want to believe in an omnipotent God. I want to believe in an omniscient God. I want to believe in an omnipresent God. I want to believe in an immutable God. I want to believe in an eternal God. I want to believe in a sovereign God. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So they said, well, people are strong. Cities are walled and very great. And then they said, ooh, the children of Anak are there. God don't care whose kids they are. And then they got a bad case of the ites. You know what the ites are, right? They'll go down here a little bit further. In verse number 29, they said the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites had a bad case of the ites. Oh, and their faith was destroyed. All the ites are there. You know what God had already said about the ites? Now, there were certain people, God said, when you get over there, you spare them. But these ites, God said, when you get over there, you kill every one of them. That's what he said. Because the cup of their iniquity was full. God saw that there was not one righteous person among the ites. And God sent instant judgment. Now don't you doubt, judgment's coming to this world. And the unrighteous are going to be judged by God and they're going to be destroyed by God. But in this particular case, God didn't defer judgment. He said, I'm going to use you as an instrument to bring judgment. And you know what happened? They didn't do what God said. They spared the ites. And because of that, they got trouble to this day. Because they didn't deal with it. You see, they lost the dream. They lost the dream. And because they lost the dream, they let doubt. If you open the door to doubt, it will flood into you. Yes, it will. You know what I'm talking about? If you just let one little doubt get in, it has a lot of company. And the next thing you know, you are flooded with doubt and you are overwhelmed with doubt. and you are struggling just to maintain your balance at all. You just can't let any doubt in. Amen. I told you I read a story, one of the saddest articles I ever read. I used to subscribe to a magazine called Biblical Archaeology. Don't that sound good? Biblical Archaeology. It's about these scientists that dig up ruins of biblical times. But every last one of them that wrote in that issue were atheists and agnostics. Digging up biblical proof of the Bible, but every last one of them had lost their faith. Because they chose to believe the writings of men instead of the Word of God. They let doubt come in and it washed their faith away. Friend, you got to take a stand. You can't believe in God in something else contrary to God. It's either God or it's the world, one or the other. I know a lot of people, they're trying to balance the two. Well, I believe in God and I believe in evolution. No, you don't. You've lost your faith. Amen. If you can't believe in a God big enough to step out in the battlements of eternity in the face of nothingness and begin to say, let there be, and by His Word there was, if you can't believe that, and doubt's going to consume you. Evolution is the biggest lie that's ever been perpetrated on the people, the face of the earth. And people have been swallowed up in it. Preachers have been swallowed up in it. Churches have been consumed with it. People have lost their faith because they let a little doubt get in. Well, you know, God, He had to create it some way. Well, I know how He created it. It tells me. He created it by His Word. That's how He made it. That's all it takes. Amen. And people have allowed, they lose their dream. When doubt comes in, amen. Boy, I like Caleb. Here's why I like Caleb. Look at this. Verse number 30. And whenever he could see it coming, he watched people that had been looking at the fruit, and they'd been thrilled about the milk and the honey, and their faces were shining, and they were all excited. But when they said, nevertheless, their countenance changed. And when they talk about walled cities and giants and children of Anak, they started getting all discouraged. And all of a sudden, Caleb jumps up and he says, hold on, everybody. He said, we are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once. There's a time to talk. And there's a time to act. There's a time to wait. And there's a time to go. And he said, let's go right now. When you see doubt rising, it's time to act. When you see doubt coming in like a flood, it's time to act on the Word of God. It's time to act in faith. He said, well, let's do it right now. But the dream team had lost their dream. And they kept on going. You know, when you let negativity start, it just gets worse and worse and worse. You start thinking bad stuff, and it don't have any end to it. You'll be like that little lady sitting in a rocking chair in front of the fire. You know, she started boo-hooing. And they said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I was just sitting here And I just got to thinking, what if I had got married? And what if I had a child? And what if the child fell in the fire? But you see how the imagination can get carried away? None of those things had ever happened. And here she was squalling and bawling about something that could never be. But you see, negativity and doubt, it's not about reason. It's faith. Its foundation is fear. It's rooted and grounded in fear. And that's what happens here. Look at this. I mean, they just get all carried away. Look at it. It goes a little bit further. Look down at verse number 32. It says, but... Oh, Caleb, he's doing his best. He said, let's do it right now. Everybody get your sword. Let's go. Verse number 32 or 31. It said, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able. Everybody say, we are not able. We are not able. We can't do it. If you think you can't, you got it. You can't. When you get the case of the cancer, it's over for you. You can't. Amen. So they said, we can't. We're not able. He said, well, they are stronger than we. I don't doubt that. God never did say they weren't stronger. God never did say they weren't bigger. God never did say there were problems. We're not problems over there. God never, he never said any of that. He said, I'm just going to give it to you. God said, I'm going to drive them out before you. You don't worry about how strong they are. You don't worry about how big they are. You just go. And if you'll go, I will drive them out. Do you remember that story about those lepers? The city was besieged by an army. And there were some lepers in the city, and they were hungry like everybody else. And they said, you know what? We can sit here and die, or we can go out there and try. So they said, we're going to go out to the Syrians. Hey, the least they're going to do is kill us. That's the worst thing that can happen. We sit here, we're going to die anyway. So let's at least die trying. And so they said, we're going to go on out there. And you know what happened? You remember the story? The Bible said God made their footsteps sound like an army. Boy, you talk about an amplification system. He turned up the volume. And every time they took a step, it sounded like a bunch of horses coming. It sounded like a huge army of soldiers. And when they got there, the Syrian army, when they were in such a hurry, they left everything behind and fled for their lives. And they found food and clothes and weapons and everything. You see, God can literally drive things out for you. That's why He doesn't want you sitting around trying to figure things out. Because He can do things that you cannot do. But here they are. They're stronger than we are. And the Bible says, then, and this is the sad thing, they brought up an evil report of the promised land. How is it that people can talk evil about something that God made good? But did you know there's people that can even talk evil about the church? Did you know there are people that can even talk evil about this church? Well, it's quiet. I know there's not any of them here, but it has been done. people, they can bring up an evil report about something good, about something God blessed, about something God promised. That's what happens when you lose your dream. I said, that's what happens when you lose your dream. My, they started talking evil about the good land that God had promised Israel. And listen, then they, oh man, you hear, he gets scary. It says, he said they eat up the inhabitants over there. There are a bunch of cannibals everywhere. I mean, you got to look, you got to hold on to your head. Next thing you know, you'll be in the boiling pot and they'll be having you for supper. He might as well laugh. He don't get as good as it's going to get. They eat up the inhabitants over there. And it said all of the people of great stature. Now, they started out with the sons of Anak. And now then all of them are giants. I mean, everywhere you look, there's giants. Oh, everybody. They're huge. They're big. They're vicious. They're cannibalistic. Paul, we don't want to go over there. See what happens when you let doubt in? Dream team became grasshoppers. I said, oh. They said they're giants over there. And they said we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And here's the key to it all. They said, and in our sight also. We think we're grasshoppers. So if you think you're a grasshopper, that's as high as you're ever going to get. Amen. Like the guy was doing a scientific experiment with a grasshopper. He took the grasshopper and he punched him and made him jump. He jumped 10 feet. He pulled one of his legs off, punched him, made him jump. He jumped 8 feet. Pulled off another leg, punched him, made him jump 6 feet. So he said, grasshopper with two legs can only jump 6 feet. And then he took another leg and he punched him again. And he went to just 4 feet. He said, a grasshopper with two legs can jump 4 feet. And he punched him again. And he just had one leg and he went 2 feet. And so he broke down his scientific report. He said, a grasshopper with one leg and jumped 2 feet. And he pulled off his last leg and he punched him and he didn't go anywhere. So he wrote in his report, he said, a grasshopper with just one leg is death. That was his report. Now that's a scientific experience. Amen. Jump! And he wouldn't jump because he was deaf. So that must be the conclusion. But if you're a grasshopper, you see, when you lose your dream, when you lose your dream, it's a tragic thing. They lost it. They lost their dream. Amen. They lost their dream. The dream team. I mean, I read you their names. I mean, they were powerful, renowned, fortunate, blessed. God bless men, anointed men, rulers ever won, heads. And they lost their dream. All except for two of them. Two of them maintained their dream. Amen. Praise God. Now you know what the real sad part of the story is? Is the next day, they started dreaming again. And they said, well, hey, now, I think I feel better today, Mr. Wishy-Washy. Well, that was yesterday. Today, I'm great. Amen. I feel like a giant today. I was a grasshopper yesterday. I got over it. Now, let's go. And so they went. 27, I believe, where men were killed. They came back with their tail between their legs. Because God said, don't you go up today. I told you to go. And I was ready to go with you. But if you go today, you're going by yourself. I'm not going. I'm not going with a bunch of wishy-washy people. I'm not going with people that can't make up their mind. I'm not going with a bunch of faithless duds. Amen. If you can't believe, I'm not going with a bunch of people like that. You're not worthy of the land. Amen. You don't deserve the land. Boy, they got all mad and they said, God bought it. He's going to kill us out here. Our kids are going to die out here. And God said, oh, no. He said, what's going to happen is you're going to die. And your kids are going to take your place. They're going to go and they're going to take the land. And that's exactly what happened, with the exception of two. There were two old gray-headed guys in that whole bunch, Joshua and Caleb. And when it was time to go, they were still in the forefront. Hallelujah. Amen. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. But after 40 years, the next time God said go, they said, let's get it, folks. Amen. It's time to go. Amen. They were ready. Amen. When I read this, I always think of these verses. Now, I understand this is 40 years later. But if you read it carefully, you understand that even though it's 40 years later, it still includes the time that God said go. When God tells you to do something, it's time, it's prepared, everything's ready. All you got to do is go. Let's look at it. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Now, 40 years have passed, and they do it again. They send some men into the land to spy out the land. And while they're there, they're staying in the house of this woman, and she hides them from the inhabitants. And listen to what she said. She's a voice for the people. Voice of the people that were in the land, the Canaanites and all the otherites. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And listen, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You hear this? Now that don't sound like what the dreamers were saying that lost their dream. This is the opposite. Hey, this was how those people felt about the Israelites. They were scared to death. That God had already told them, they're coming for you. And they were scared to death. They were ready to run. But they weren't going to run from grasshoppers. They were ready. Listen, look at verse number 10. This is why they were scared. They said, for we heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. You see, they had already heard everything God had done. This is past tense. This is 40 years ago. 40 years later, they're still scared to death. 40 years later, they still got their running shoes on. 40 years later, mom and daddy has called the kids together and said, there's a bunch of Israelites and they got a great God and he destroyed Israel and he dried up the Red Sea and he brought those Israelites out and they're going to come in here one day and you better have your running shoes on because God has given them this land and we got to get out of here. That's what they told their kids. This is the true story. This is what the dream team missed. That Caleb and Joshua knew because they believed God. And look at verse 11. And they said, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Hallelujah. They were afraid of Israel because of Israel's God. Isn't that amazing that the heathen had more faith than the believers? They knew they were defeated. All they were doing was waiting for the sound. All they were doing, they had centennials waiting for Israel to come. Man, when we see them coming, we are getting out of here. We are scared to death of these people because they're God. Oh, He's God in heaven. He's God in earth. They knew they were defeated. You know what the devil knows? He knows he's defeated. Amen. You just need to believe it. I said, you just need to believe. He knows it. Amen. He'll bluff if you'll let him. Not because he doesn't know he's defeated, but because he knows whether or not you know. He watches you. And if you can't make up your mind, and you're as unstable as water, and you're up one day and down the next, he's not real fearful of you. Amen. But if you're a resolute, and you've got a made-up mind, and you're faithful, amen, and He knows that you believe, and you act on your faith, He don't want anything to do with people like that. He starts shaking in His shoes when you start coming. Amen. Praise God. When you start praying, He starts getting nervous. Amen. Somebody said He's as nervous as a lion in a den full of Daniels. Amen. Amen. That's nervous. That's worse than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dream. Don't lose the dream. Don't lose your faith. Let's stand together. What God has spoken, He will surely do. Now I want to tell you tonight, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. God has spoken some promises to this church. Let me say that again. God has spoken some promises to this church. And God meant what He said. The only way that's not going to happen is if we lose the dream. As long as we hold on to the promise and we believe it and we act on it and we go forward like He's told us to be, and we don't get discouraged, and we don't lose our faith, God is going to fulfill the promise. God is going to fulfill the dream. Amen. That's what you can't get your eyes on, people. Hear me today. If you're not careful, you'll get your eye on some person, and you'll think, well, if they're not here, we can't have the promise. If they're not here, then this whole thing's going to fall apart. Really? What is it built on? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. You've got to get a hold of God's promise and you latch onto it with everything that's in you. And you don't get distracted by anything. And you don't get distracted by anybody. You hold on to the promise, and it will come to pass. The only way that it's not going to happen is if we lose the dream. Any believers here tonight? Any believers here tonight? Any believers here tonight? Any believers here tonight? Any dreamers here tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody willing to buy into the dream?